Jara Dhamma Dava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astorakata Sri Srimadi Savangre Sabai Charnar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichayanand Shredoita Gadadar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Sri Gangamai Ki Jaya Shrimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jaya Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Your Lordship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jaya Your Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Your Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Your Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishingadev Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Primanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, entitled The Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text 16. Nityam Shuchama Dehasya Daridrasya Nakangshinaha Indriyanyanushushyanti Himshapi vinivartate Nityam shuchama dehasya Daridrasyana kangshinaha Indriyanyanu sushyanti Himshapi vinivartate Nityam Shuchama Dehasya. Daridrasya Nakankshinaha. Indriyanyanu Shushyanti. Himshapi Vinivartate. Please chant. Nityam Shuchama Dehasya. Daridrasya Nakankshinaha. Indriyanyanu Shushyanti. Himshapi Vinivartate. Dehasya. Kamshinaha Indriyanyanu Shushyanti. Himshapi Vinivartate. Mothers. Word for word, Nityam, always. Shut, with hunger. Shama, weak without necessary strength. Dehasya, of the body of a poor man. Diradrasya, poverty stricken. Anakankshinaha, always desiring to get sufficient food. Indriyani, the senses which are compared to snakes. Anushushyanti, gradually becoming weaker and weaker with less potency. Himsa-api, the tendency to be envious of others. Vinivartate, reduces. Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Always hungry, longing for sufficient food, a poverty-stricken man gradually becomes weaker and weaker. Having no extra potency, his senses are automatically pacified. A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the results of the austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by saintly persons. Purport. According to the opinion of experienced medical practitioners, diabetes is a result of voracious eating, and tuberculosis is a disease of undereating. We should desire neither to be diabetic nor to be tubercular. Yavad artha prayojanam. We should eat frugally and keep the body fit for advancing in Krishna consciousness. As recommended elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.10, kamasya nendriya pratir labho jivita yavataha. Jivasya tattva jignasya Narto yas cheha karma bi. It's a very popular verse. The real business of human life is to keep oneself fit for advancement in spiritual realization. Human life is not meant for making the senses unnecessarily strong so that one suffers from disease and one increases in an envious fighting spirit. In this age of Kali, however, human civilization is so misled that people are unnecessarily increasing in economic development, and as a result, they are opening more and more slaughterhouses, liquor shops, and brothels. In this way, the whole civilization is being spoiled. Om Gyana Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalesha Matushila Vibhav Pravati Namne Shri Shri Vindata Vivura Padapad Pankajadayani Prabhupada Anubadaya Namah Shri Vibhavve Hare Krishna. So this chapter continues with Narada Muni continuing his contemplation on how to properly situate these two devotees, formerly Nalakuvara and Manigriv, how to properly situate them so that they can be in the best position to reestablish their relationship as eternal servants of the Lord. So here he's discussing, he's thinking that if he makes their bodies weak, makes them poor, put them in a situation where they're very dependent, then that can change them around. And Srila Prabhupada commented that this situation is pretty much established in the material world, whereby everyone is engaging so much in non-devotional activities, in materialistic activities, and even commented how they are creating and opening so many slaughterhouses and brothels and hanker more and more for material life rather than spiritual life. So that becomes a great impediment for everyone to understand. So here, there, among other things, there are a few particular items that stands out in this situation that is very beneficial for these two personalities, Nalakuvara and Manigriv. One is that they happen to be in a holy place, Kailash Dham. They were favored by Lord Shiva and thus had the opportunity to dwell in Kailash Dham. So that is very favorable that they are in the holy dam. And the nature of the holy dam is such that a blessing must be there. That's just the nature of the holy dam, that one gets ultimate benediction. Sometimes the benediction is immediate, the benefits, and sometimes it takes a while. Unfortunately, in this case, because these two personalities, they did not make the proper use of the holy dam, they were engaged in nefarious activities, not recommended for human beings, not to speak of one in the holy dam. But nevertheless, the benefit was there. It took a while, they had to be punished initially, but then the benefit is there. So this is the nature of the holy place, and it's the nature of the Lord and the devotees, that when one comes to a holy place, then it is ensured that a benediction is there for them. For example, Putana, she came to the holy dam Vrindavan with the intention of killing Krishna. So Krishna decided, okay, you know, she's here to kill me, so that's bad, so therefore she must be punished. But because she has given me, she has come to the holy dam, and because she has given me her breast like a mother, therefore she must be, she must get a very wonderful opportunity to serve me like a mother. Therefore, in Vaikuntha Dham, Goloka Vrindavan, she became a nurse in the service of Krishna. So that's the nature of the holy places, the nature of the devotees. So this is one aspect of the benefits that one can derive, and these two personalities derived from being in a holy place. And what created their fortune is the appearance of a devotee. So this is the great benefit. Whenever a devotee appears on a scene, there can only be one thing. There can only be auspiciousness. There's no question. We have seen it in every aspect of Vedic culture, in every aspect of the scriptures. We have seen that it's only beneficial when a devotee appears. So in this case, Narad Muni appears, and therefore there was some benediction to be offered to these two personalities. And yet again, because they didn't act in a favorable way, then some punishment had to be there first. So we can understand how difficult that must have been for Narada, being such a soft-hearted devotee and being the well-wisher of all. Actually, the devotees describe the same qualities of the Lord. Krishna describes himself in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loke Maheshwaram Sridhidam Sarva Bhutanam Natvam Mam Shantim Richate. So the point of importance here is Sridhidam Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna says that I'm the benefactor and the friend of all living entities. And he describes his devotee in a similar way, in the very same way, actually, in the third canto, that titikshava karunika surida sarva dehinam. Same thing, surida sarva dehinam, that my devotee is also the friend and benefactor of all. So, with all this verse appeared in the third canto, in the 25th chapter, Srila Prabhupada lectured on this in his lectures in the 26th chapter, that how the devotee and the Lord is the same in terms of being Surit. Actually, there are many words appearing in the Vedic scriptures that means friend or friendly. You have Bandhu, Saka, Saki, Mitra, and Srila Prabhupada commented on Mitra, that Mitra is a friend who becomes your friend because he has a motive. He's expecting something from that friendship. You also find some places, I was looking in a dictionary, Amit is also there, means like one that has a boundless relationship. We find that Karna used to address Duryodhan in the Mahabharata as Amit, that he is standing behind him for whatever he wants to do, good or bad, he doesn't care. He's just my friend, I'm going to stand behind you. But Sarit, this friendship can only be addressed from the angle of the Lord and his devotees. This kind of friendship you only find from the Lord and from his devotees. This Sarit is a friendship that the devotee and the Lord is always looking out for the world, always looking out for everyone to, and every living entity to give that benediction, to be the ultimate benefactor. So it all like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna describes himself, Suridam, Srila Prabhupada translates that as benefactor. And in the Bhagavatam, Surida, he translates as friendly. So, and then he commented both means the same thing. So that's the nature of Vaishnava, that's the nature of a devotee, that they're always befriending everyone and they always look out for the future of everyone. So here, with Narada appearing on the scene, it becomes the greatest fortune for these two personalities. We found throughout the Bhagavatam, in every canto, and many other scriptures that Narada Muni appears. We found he appears to Hiranyakashipu. Actually, if we go back, when Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities and the demigods came to kidnap his wife, thinking that a child being so born by Kayadu would also be a demon, Narada Muni appeared on the scene and he took Kayadu away. So we all know that Narada Muni was cursed, that he cannot stay in one place. He wouldn't be able to stay in one place. So how is it that Narada was able to take Kayadu and the little boy, Prahlad, of course, was in her womb at that time, but he was able to take her to his ashram, and he took care of her in his ashram for as long as it was necessary. And so we know that Narada was cursed that he cannot stay in one place, but still, he had an ashram, and he was able to stay in one place for a very long time. And that one place was Kuchum Sarovar. So, actually, it goes that Krishna told Narada, he said, why don't you come and reside here? This, you know, beautiful gardens, here's where I perform my pastimes. And then Narada Muni said, no, but I've been cursed. I can't stay one place in, you know, for a long time. Then Krishna said, no, that curse is for the material world, but here, this is spiritual. So you can stay here. So like that, he established his ashram, and thus Kayadu was able to stay, and Prahlad when he was born. So after when Hiranyakashipu, he was actually performing austerities not very far from there too. So afterwards, when Hiranyakashipu came back, and Narada brought his wife and child, Hiranyakashipu is described that he was very respectful to Narada. He even became angry. Oh, you took my wife, and you know, you're in touch with the demigods, therefore, and I'm going to try to kill you, because he was harassing all the demigods. But he was very respectful to Narada because he knew who he was. And thus, his relationship with Narada was very pleasing. There wasn't anything, Narada didn't curse him or anything as with these two boys. And also with Kamsa, when Narada appeared to Kamsa telling him, well, the A child can be anyone that would kill you, Kamsa didn't get angry at Narada. He didn't raise his anger and wanting to harass him. He was very pleasing. He approached Narada very, very respectfully. And thus, their situation, his benediction, was very sweet, very shortly after that he gave up his body. Also, in the story of the Ramayana, you find Narada also approached Ravana. Actually, Ravana was roaming on his flying chariot to see who else he can conquer and what other activities he can perform. So, at that point, Narada appeared in the sky, and Ravana very respectfully eased himself down from his chariot seat, pushed himself to the side and welcomed Narada. "Please come and sit next to me." So, he asked Narada, he said, "What are you up to? What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm just, roaming around. And I thought I want to pay you a visit." So then Narada asked Ravana, he said, "What are you up to?" He said, "Oh, I'm just roaming around also, see who else I can conquer." So then Narada said, "Actually, what's going to happen, very shortly, you will be relieved from these activities." So shortly after that, Narada left, and Ravana was continued roaming around. Then he saw this beautiful woman standing by the banks of the river. And he immediately, take a closer look. His eyes bulged out like the alligators. "Wow, what a beautiful woman is here." So then he swooped down with his chariot to come and take a close look and see, okay, here's someone I can enjoy. So he stopped there, and he approached her, and she knew who he was, but as a chaste woman and cultured, she was very respectful. So she asked, "Who are you?" He said, "Oh, I'm Vedavati. I'm the wife of Lord Vishnu." So immediately, Ravana got angry. "Vishnu, he's my sworn enemy. I'm going to kidnap you." So then he grabbed Vedavati's hair. And at that point, her hair was loose, she had just taken her bath. So at that point, she took her hands, and by her mystic power, she turned it into a sharp knife, and she chopped her hair off. And she said that, "Because you have touched my body," he only touched her hair, but he said, "Because you have touched my body, I'm going to give up this body, but I'm going to come back and be the cause of your destruction." So because, from one angle, because of Narada's benediction to Ravana, that this incident escalated, and thus she came back, Vedavati came back as Mother Sita and caused the destruction of Ravana. So because the activities were nefarious, then he had to be punished in that way, but they got to reestablish themselves as the, we all know as the doorkeepers in Vaikuntha. So this is the nature of a devotee, that they are willing to give benedictions, they are willing to do what it takes and to assimilate different situations. So whilst all these personalities were respectful to Narada, these two boys, they weren't. We didn't hear that they have created any, perform any real demonic activities. They perform low-class activities. But because they weren't respectful to such a great personality as Narada, then they had to be punished in some way. So Narada Muni was contemplating how we can create a situation, how can I create a situation that these boys would be ultimately benefited. So this is the nature of a devotee, this is the nature of Hare Krishna. Even to all of us, to some different extent, we have this nature with us. I actually remember when I first became a devotee, my brother and I, we had a friend who we were at Skarmis, we were friends for a very, very long time. So when we became devotees, we desired that he also became a devotee. So we were trying different things to make him a devotee. So when we were trying to encourage him, his brother-in-law went home and told his parents. He said, these Haribols are trying to get your son. And he said, if you only allow him to hold that bag, that's the bead bag. He said, that bag has a thing on it. If he holds that bag, he's finished with you. You can never get him back. So eventually he started chanting, and now, he's my godbrother. He's a devotee. So that's the nature of devotees, that, we try everything to encourage him. So first of all, what we did, we got him a job where we were working. And like that, we can associate and we can influence. We start bringing him prasadam. So devotees have this nature, this very compassionate nature. They are the real purport of Sahrit. This friendliness that we want to give the best for everyone out there. And Srila Prabhupada has created these holy places, like here, Nuramanriti Dham, for example, where we can have a holy place, we can have devotees, we can be able to offer benedictions and facilities for benedictions to everyone who either comes here or who we can go out and meet. So therefore, it's very important that we take up this task and go out and make this place as holy as possible, and also to go out and give others an opportunity whereby their life can be successful. I know right now through our festival programs, Ratiyatra festivals, is every major city in Florida are discussing ISKCON and Hare Krishnas in their meetings. All the major cities, all the police departments, all over, because we're going out there asking for permits to do festivals. So this nature is there so that, you know, that they're becoming conscious. And the result of that, auspiciousness is coming about. So we have this responsibility to make ourselves sites of pilgrimage, to come to the site of pilgrimage here, to make ourselves holy, and to able to have a potency that we can transmit to others. And thus, we can do something beneficial. We can be the real friend of others. We don't want to be just any friend. Like, I know in American society, you have this, the nature is that we're friends, you know, you're my friend, and if I say to you, today I want to just go on sport and don't use that money to pay my rent. Then the friend said, okay, yes, that's very good, go ahead, you know. So it's like our nature to do that. Everything your friend says or wants to do, you support, yes, that's good, go ahead. You don't want to contradict. But that's not the real friend. The real friend is one who wants to see the ultimate benefit being bestowed upon his friend or upon everyone else. So this is our nature. So it should be our nature to try to act in such a way or to give facilities in such a way so that an ultimate benefit can be there. Also, the side effects of that is that they are temporary benefits. Like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji once commented, said, this was when the devotees were doing Harinam, and they're starting having the drought went away. So that with Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and his disciples like that, you know, the devotees were doing Harinam, and then there were showers. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji commented that these are side effects of the holy name. So different side benefits are there, but the ultimate benefit is foremost, and we should look for that. The ultimate benefit is that despite you get a temporary relief from the drought, but the ultimate benefit is that we will be able to stand on a very good chance of returning home, back home, back to Godhead. So these are the activities or the thinking that a devotee always carries with him. Like the other day, Nagaraj Prabhu was giving class, and he said he always thinks so far ahead. He always thinks so much, so far into the future. So that's the nature of Hare Krishna. That's the nature of a devotee, to always think very far into the future. Like here with Narad Muni, he was thinking of these two boys. He was thinking way into the future, 100 celestial years. They would stand as trees, let their bodies be such that they would be forced to give up pride. They would be forced to be weak. They would be forced to involuntarily accept all the benefits from the austerities and penances that the sages voluntarily perform. This Srila Prabhupada elaborated in the purport that we would, or they would have the opportunity by placing them in such a position. So this was to take place, this would take another 100 celestial years, which is to our calculation is a really, really long time. But the benefit is there nonetheless. The benefit is there. So a devotee never thinks of cursing anyone. It may appear in this section of the Bhagavatam here that a devotee is cursing these two boys, Nalakuvar and Manigrive. But it was actually a great benediction for their benefit and for others' benefit as well, whoever is hearing these pastimes. So this is our great fortune that we have an opportunity to listen to these pastimes and also to practice our lives in such a way so that we can get tremendous benefits. Like we would travel and go to holy places, we're coming here, we're going to Vrindavan, to holy places. We have an opportunity to perform pious activities in those places and so much more multiply our benefits. So even if one performs sinful activities, which I'm not saying here recommending anyone should do, if you perform sinful activities, then you're going to have a lot of punishment first, but the benefit would still be there. So why be that less intelligent to perform sinful activities in a holy place? It's just not to our benefit. If you calculate it from any angle, it's just not beneficial. If you perform pious activities, then our life becomes so much more absorbed and involved in Krishna consciousness. And thus we were able to transmit this force to others. So these are some thoughts, these two main thoughts I had on this to discuss here today. One, the effect of a holy place, and two, the effect of the appearance of a devotee. So I would like to stop here, and if anyone has any comments or questions or corrections. Sita?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. Do you think there can be any comparison between Manigriva and Nalakuvara and like Gurukulis, or people that are Krishna conscious and they travel to the holy dham, but then they don't really utilize it to cultivate spiritual life, and they even commit offenses which are almost like exponentially worse if you're in the holy dham? Do you think there can be some kind of comparison? You see that?
Yes.
That's the first thing I thought of when you started.
Right, yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if.
Yeah, you can say there, you know, there can be comparisons in that, first of all, Srila Prabhupada commented that these children that were being born in within this Krishna consciousness movement are no ordinary kids. You're one of them. You know, they're not ordinary kids by any means. Because they are able from birth to stay in this spiritual atmosphere. You're being bombarded by so many things out there, but you're able to have the strength as a young person to stay within the shelter of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes they go out and they perform some illegal activities or like that. And even when they go to the holy dham, they may perform some, in some cases, you know, there are some nefarious activities being performed. So it's a similar thing with these two boys, Nalakuvar and Manigrive. They went to the holy place. They were, you know, very qualified personalities. They performed some sinful activities. So some suffering is there. So similarly with, in your case, what you're asking with these, you know, Gurukulis or children, yes, some reaction would be there, but because they're surrounded by auspiciousness, by the benediction of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas and so many devotees, every devotee always thinks of how these younger generation and everyone surrounding us can develop. If you ask any older devotee within our society, they would tell you that. So, with all, they may not be there personally speaking with them, but at the back of their mind, they're always thinking of how they can be benefited. So, by it's not the best thing to do to perform these activities, but because they're surrounded by auspiciousness, then that becomes their greatest benefit. I think that answers your question. Mother Sukada, you had a question? Or a comment?
I was just appreciating your extolling the glories of Harinam, because I joined the movement in 74, but I know for so many years before then, my husband would tell me how, you know, they would go out for Harinam 8 hours a day. They'd go out from morning till night. So they'd be so tired, even though men and women would be in the same room sleeping, they were so exhausted, they would just immediately fall asleep as soon as they hit the floor. But it was so glorious. I mean, they felt such ecstasy from it. And somehow or other, now we go out, you know, an hour a week, not so many people, a few people. We go out for festivals. But Prabhupada explained that every time we chant Hare Krishna, it goes around the world, you know, seven times. It purifies everything in its path. I was just reading in Radha Damodar Vilas where Prabhupada had told Vishnujan and his party to go into the mountains and chant. So they did. When they came back, Vishnujan Maharaj said, "Oh, Prabhupada, there wasn't anybody up there." And Prabhupada says, "No, there's so many living entities. You know, there's animals, there's trees. Everyone has to hear the holy name." So like you mentioned, there's so many side effects too, as far as, you know, it's the yajna, so it brings rain, creates auspiciousness. So it just seems like the more we can step that up, especially in Kali Yuga,
yeah,
it's so important for people to hear it. So anyway, yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, actually,
Harinam tonight.
It's actually when I just joined this movement, I was, you know, brahmachari, you know, younger days. We also used to go out on Harinam, so sometimes at least 8 hours a day. And we started the Harinam Sankirtan in the sense of, we only had three of us. My little god brother Shamsundar used to be here. He would play the mirdanga. And myself and another devotee, we would take turns of playing kartals and distributing back to God in magazines. So when everyone hears the mirdanga, they would all come out and we distribute magazines. So we would go, and we would go like that for 8 hours a day, every day, for at least 6 days a week, excepting Sundays. So that was really wonderful. And we used to be so tired, as after getting up like 3 in the morning. And when we would go and join the buses to come home, as soon as we hit the seat of the bus, generally there we have to go sit in the bus, wait until the bus fills up, and then they move. So as soon as we hit the bus, we all fall asleep. And many times we would pass the temple or pass our places. We would go on somewhere else, and then they have to bring us back. So after a year or so, they became very familiar with the Hare Krishna's activities. So as soon as they're reaching the temple, they would come wake us up. "Hey, Haribol, do you want to stop home?" So yes, okay. So like that, and you know, those are very wonderful days. Really, really wonderful days. I always wish that I have the energy can go back to them. Yeah. Yeah, Mother Ekadasi.
It says, like in one of the previous verses, maybe, that it was, they had the boon, Manigriva Nala Kuvera, that they could remember their previous life.
Yeah.
And so that helped them. And I wonder sometimes, like, why we are not able to remember, or in some cases, some people remember some things, but why we can't remember, because it just seems like, I feel like I'm probably making the same mistakes over and over again, and it would help me, I think, if I could remember things that I've done before.
Well, you have a greater opportunity than those two personalities. They were, you know, they had to stand as trees for 100 celestial years, and they had to rely on their own memory to remember and so to correct themselves. In your case, you have the whole of this Krishna consciousness movement surrounding and bombarding you every day. Even if you don't want to, come to the temple, you decide you want to go to the go out on the road to the market or something, you would bump into a devotee. That reminds you, here's what you should do. So, see things on the good side. Look how much opportunity we have. You know, the other day I went to the store. I was there in Walmart. As soon as I popped in there, two devotees came over, went to Sam's Club. another couple of devotees over there, went to another store, devotees over there. I sometimes have to go to the courthouse, I'm seeing devotees there. Anywhere you turn, there are devotees. And they were always, and every time for some reason, every time devotees see me, they would say something about, you know, about Jagannath service and Hare Krishna. So it just forces me to remember. It forces me to be in a certain line. So this is the memory. You don't have the memory inside. You don't have to. You can just throw back and relax. And Krishna is sending so many memories from all around. So you have a greater opportunity. You don't have to rely, like in one sense we can say, that's the monkey way, like with Manigrip and Alcubra, that the way the monkey carries its young is that the young has to go on the back of the mom and hold on its own strength, and the mom jumps around. The way the cat carries its kitten, it's holding very carefully in its jaws. The kitten has to do nothing, just relax, and the mom takes. So in that sense, that you don't have to rely on your own strength. We have such a facility that everyone is coming forward to help us. Even if you don't want it to be helped, even if you don't want to take advice, there is so much coming. The benefits of all these devotees, you know. Yeah, it's all there. So that's a greater benefit. That's the effect of this golden age. So yeah, Pran Govinda Prabhu.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the Viraraghava Acharya's commentary on Chitraketu's knowing his previous enemy who came as his own son and caused such a big dramatic that he gave up the kingdom, gave up everything. Mm. But Lord Sri Krishna Prabhupada repeats many times that he never intervened in our free will. Maybe I may have so many enemies last life, and this life I have to, on my own free conscious choice, purify that. But if everything is revealed in front of me, it may be disturbed for me to live even. Therefore, Krishna's mercifully covered so that I can go, instead of reacting, I can go on free consciously accepting this Krishna consciousness and mold my life for ultimate goal.
Yes, so there's a difference with the Lord and his devotee. You know, and the devotee is greater than Krishna in the sense that Krishna does not interfere with the independence of everyone. He mentioned very clearly, you know, that's one thing that Krishna never does. He never interferes with the independence of anyone. He gives them their free will. What the devotee does, the devotee is a little more merciful than that. That's what the devotee is described as, the intervening principle. A devotee would see someone suffering, like in the case of Jagai and Madai. Lord Chaitanya didn't encourage them to go and get involved with Jagai and Madai. But Nityananda thought, you know, they should also be getting the mercy. So he forcefully went and he intervened into their activities. He didn't say, okay, you don't want to listen, you're faithless, go on. No, he intervened. So in that way, the devotee is greater than Krishna in that aspect, because he intervenes in others' lives, whether they want to accept it or not. He creates a situation that he kind of forces them to be in a situation where Krishna's mercy flows upon them. I remember in this same story I was telling about my godbrother. His brother-in-law happened to be a taxi driver at the time. So we would go doing Sankirtan, and we would go and try to preach to everyone who we can. So this man used to tell the others, he said, listen, when these Hare Krishnas come, he said, know for sure, you cannot argue with them, you cannot defeat them. And they will not leave without you giving them a donation. So the best thing to do, give them a donation and let them go. So then one day I told him that, you know, we're not coming to you for your money. We're not coming for your donation. We're coming to intervene, and we're coming to give you something that would have tremendous benefit for you. So like that, a devotee intervenes. Oh. Yeah, but let me take this, Prabhu. What's your name? Say that. Okay, still can't get it, but anyway. Karnapur, Hare Krishna.
I was wondering earlier, you were talking about Narada Muni being cursed for wandering. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
I don't remember the full detail of it. If anyone knows, he's asking how Narada Muni was cursed that he cannot stay in one place. Anyone knows? Madan Mohan Prabhu? Who?
Daksha.
Okay.
Taken by Narada Muni, that time Narada Muni took them for some meditational process, but instead he gave them Nibrita Kalpa Samadhi, where they literally liberated. He came back, Daksha was very angry, because whole idea of his meditation in his life to create the progeny. He first created 10,000, so he was angry. Then next time he made 1,000 sons, Narada Muni again appeared. This time he was hesitant, but then Narada Muni pursues to a point that we want to train them as a good brahmachari. So Daksha said, okay. So then he took it. Again he did this, Nirvikalpa Samadhi. They also got liberated. When Daksha saw it, not knowing the ultimate goal of life, because Daksha has a good point, Prabhupada put in the purport, that Daksha thought, Devarshi Ninam, that verse, very clearly that we have a three debts. One debt is for the demigod towards the rishis, seven rishis, Sapta Rishi, and our bangsa, or family dynasty. And these three, by observing celibacy, that's why children are not into intimacy with the opposite sex until certain age. So they remain celibacy, then they have to do jagna when they're grihasthas. So this way they pay their debts. But when the child is born, their goal is not to pay the debts, to pay the ultimate developing loving service to Krishna. That part Daksha did not know, according to Prabhupada. Therefore, he cursed Narada. You should not stay more than. But yeah. Narada took it very gladly.
Actually, so in Lord Chaitanya's mission, we also has debts. And those are transcendental debts. That the first obligation that we have is to perform our own sadhana and practice our Krishna consciousness. No one can do that for us. The second obligation we have to our immediate family and surroundings, our immediate responsibility, to try to see that they also practice auspiciousness and spiritual life. And the third obligation is to do some things for Lord Chaitanya's movement. So if everyone recognizes those three obligations and debts, then this whole movement can fly, you know, much more than it is going today. Madam Mohan Prabhu, you had a question? Oh, okay. So anyway, I think it's getting late. We would stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.